God is good?
All the time.
You know, that's a good thing. I like to say that when I wake up in the morning. I go out and I usually get a cup of hot water and lemon and honey and cinnamon. And thank God. Amen. Thank God. I'm gonna pray. And if you want to join in, that'd be good. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We give you glory and honor for this day. Father, we thank you that we are in your presence. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is flowing through each and every person in here, Father, and your truth reigns. Your truth reigns in this place, and the truth sets us free, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I'm going to preach something that goes along with the theme of the kids. Jesus. Amen? Jesus. You know, the kids yesterday learned that Jesus was the way, truth, and the life. Well, today I think it's only fitting that the adults learn a little bit about Jesus, too. Has anybody ever used a GPS system? Yeah. Whether it be a TomTom or I think it's a Garmin or, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Those are the old style. They sit on top of your dashboard or hang from your windshield, right? Or nowadays you got your cell phones that have whatever you want, basically, right? It comes with, well, the Apple comes with Maps or whatever, and it's there. And Androids, I'm sure you can download the Google Maps and whatnot. And you put in your destination, and it finds your location, and then what does it do? Tells you how to get there. Gives you a couple different ways, right? You can just by routes or by time or by gas mileage or whatever. You know, GPS is an interesting thing, and it's a really good thing, and it's awesome. It really is. Except when there's a road blocked or a road is off or apparently there's no road at all, right? Anybody been there before? Yeah? I can remember on Nina and I's honeymoon when we got married, the last day we were trying to get to the, we had a rental car and we were trying to get to the Boston airport, trying to get to the Hertz station because that's where we had to get in and get the car. And the GPS wanted to take me to some place that I could not go, right? Have you been there before? We could see the Hertz station, but we couldn't get there. And the GPS wanted me to go through this property. And I got so frustrated. We drove around, right, for so long. And, of course, in bigger cities, all the streets are one ways, right? And so the GPS tells you one, and then it's a one way, but you're supposed to go that way, but you don't know where you're going. Man, it's so frustrating. But when it works, it's awesome. Amen? But when it doesn't work, man, it's so frustrating. It's even down to where it tells you by the feet, right? Turn left in 500 feet. Your destination is on the right in half a mile, right? Do a U-turn, right? Whatever it is, GPS finds the way where you want to go. But there's something that you need to understand about GPS is that man put it together, right? It's a computer system that was brought to you by human beings. Thus, it fails, yes? And I know that Nina told me to tell this story when we were in Oklahoma a couple years ago and her and Jasmine were trying to drive around Oklahoma. They got lost in the boonies in Oklahoma trying to find the camp, trying to find the road to the hotel. And the GPS wanted them to go this way and that way, or it wouldn't work, and the road wouldn't be there, or there would be a road, but it wouldn't be the right name of the road, and it was going the wrong way, and it was just crazy, she was saying. So human error allows us to get lost, right? Amen? Jesus is the ultimate GPS. Amen? He does not fail. He does not err. He is the one who shows us the way. Let's turn to John in your Bibles. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 10. And I'm going to take you through some scriptures that, some conversations that we got to understand who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Jesus. Amen. That's our guide. That's our GPS. That's our Garmin. That's our TomTom. Right? That's our VZ Navigator. That's our Google Maps. Right? Jesus. So we got to understand something, that Jesus doesn't fail. Why? Well, John 10:30 tells us. It says, right here on the board, the Father and I are one. God is the Father. Jesus says, the Father and I are one. So look, I got it. I got the way. The Father and I are one. I got the way. You know, many people in the world, I'm sure you come across them, that criticize Christians or criticize Christianity about being too narrow-minded, that there has to be more than one way. Have you ever heard that before? There has to be more than one way to salvation. They talk about the various different religions of the world, the various top religions of the world, and say, there's this way and there's that way. It's got to be the same God. So it's got to be different ways to the same God. Those answers are found in this verse. The Father and I are one. John chapter 14, verse 9. The second part, we can read it all. It says, Jesus replied, Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Why are you asking me to show you him? He says, look, the Father and I are one. So you see me, you see the Father. I'm telling you the way to go, yet you still question me. I and the Father are one, and I'm telling you the way. So don't question me. I think people don't understand that God is telling us through Jesus, say, hey, look, I am the I am. The Father and I are one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but through me. But yet people want to think that there are multiple different ways, just like a GPS system that we use. You can find multiple different ways to a route. If you want to go to Walmart, there's plenty of different ways to get there, yes? That's in this realm. But Jesus is telling us, hey, look, to heaven, to eternal life, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the light. Jesus didn't give Christians or his followers any other option but to preach it that way. He didn't give us any other option than to say, look, Jesus is the way. His sacrifice is the only way that we can receive salvation. John 14:6, if you go back a couple verses, Jesus tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Praise God. Jesus claimed to be God, but we hear that, and then we have a decision to make, yes? We have to choose whether or not we want to believe it. That's the option that we get. So we have to look at and read these words, and we have to say either this man was and is the Son of God, or imagine if somebody came up to you today and said, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way but through me. We might think of that person as being crazy, right? Especially in those days when they were looking for a Messiah, but they thought it would be a different kind of Messiah. So this person who is humble, meek, and a servant to all says, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and everybody else is looking for this big warrior to come and to set the captives free. So you can think that the religious people of the time, the Jews of that time, were like, ah, I don't think so. You're crazy. You're loony, right? But they have a choice to make, just like we have a choice to make. Either this guy was crazy, or he was telling the truth. So they could either try to shut him up, which they tried, spit at him or kill him, or you choose to get on your knees and praise and worship him. I'm going to tell you some things about other religions. I'm going to tell you a story. And I'm going to read a story to you. And I want you to close your eyes and imagine. Now, don't fall asleep on me, all right? But I want you to listen to this because it's a very descriptive story. So close your eyes and follow along with me. A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by and he told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was never there. Another visitor arrived and instructed the man to do good deeds and improve his karma. And though he would still die in the hole, he may be reincarnated as something magnificent. He's still in the hole. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing the east and follow 5 important tenets. And if he were faithful, then one day, perhaps the divine would set him free. The man prayed his best, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about this man. He called down to the man in the hole and asked if he wanted to be free. The man in the hole shook his head, too tired to speak. So this man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved. These are all descriptions of what the major religions teach. The first one, to purify and meditate and reach nirvana, is Buddhism. The man was still in the hole, but you know what? When you reach nirvana, maybe you'll get out. The second one, hey man, you don't exist. The hole doesn't exist. It's all good. It's all illusion. That's what they call the New Age movement. Scientology, science things, New Age. It doesn't really exist. You know, you're not really there. We're not really living. It's all just an illusion. Karma is part of Hinduism. Stay in the hole. When you die, you might be reincarnated so that you can get out of the hole. Teach you 5 times and pray 5 times a day facing a certain direction. And maybe, then maybe, the divine will set you free. If not, you're still in the hole. The only religion, the only major religion in the world that shows us that God came down into the pit, reached down, grabbed the man who was helpless, and pulled him out of the pit is Christianity. Amen? The only religion, the only thing on this earth that teaches the truth about life, about anything, is the truth that talks about Jesus. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. Jesus' early disciples tell us that he claimed to be the one and only path to God. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27, very simple. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will fall with a mighty crash. So if we put our faith in anything else, Jesus tells us, hey, look, it's going to crash. And if any of us have done that, that's true. When you put your faith in anything other than Jesus, it eventually comes down. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to take you through some scriptures here just to show you what the word tells us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. But if anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before the Father in heaven. But if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven. People who heard this would probably reject Jesus because they don't want to be with him for eternity. He says some pretty harsh things. So people who reject that probably don't want to be with Jesus anyway. Jesus said, John chapter 5. Let's go there. John chapter 5, verse 22. Jesus said this. He said, and the Father leaves all judgment to his Son. Early on we read that Jesus claimed that the Father and I are one. So only fitting that the Father would say, And the Father leaves all judgment to His Son. Verse 23, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. But if you refuse to honor the Son, then you are certainly not honoring the Father, because the Father and the Son are one. Jesus said that God had entrusted Him, the Father had entrusted all judgment to Him. And so if you don't honor the Son, then obviously you are not honoring the Father. This is exclusive, meaning that Jesus very simply says, look, if you don't honor me, you're not honoring the Father, and I'm the only way. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said to the people, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't stumble in the darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Because we already read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said. So people who claim that there are other ways to salvation are wrong. Amen? It's wrong. Peter, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, was very blunt when he told the Jewish leaders about Jesus. He was before the council. Him and John were before the council, talking about Jesus. Verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. So Peter was very blunt, very straightforward, that no other name, by no other name can you be saved. Paul, you all know the Apostle Paul, made it clear as well in many scriptures. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2. Verse 1. Once you were dead, doomed forever because of your sins. Tells us that, hey, because you sin, because we all sin, we're doomed. But we already know that there is one name that we can call upon to be saved. 1 Timothy. I told you I'm going to take you on a journey. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and his people. He is the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe the truth. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of those who believe. Jesus is the Savior of all people. It says of all people, and obviously those who believe. So it's not necessarily just the believers, but Jesus came to save everybody. He came to save the people who do not believe, but they have to make a choice. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Well then, there's a conflict between God's law and God's promises. Is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give this new life, then we could have been made right with God by obeying it. What he's saying there very simply is that, look, Jesus had to come. He had to sacrifice himself. He had to become, go from being godlike to man in order to bring us out of the depths. If the law that they were following could do it, then there would be no need. But Jesus had to. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And by him God reconciled, this is verse 20, and by him God reconciled everything to him. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of his blood on the cross. This includes you who were once so far from God. You were his enemies, separated by him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as his friends. He has done this through the death of his Son on the cross in his own human body. So many scriptures talking about how Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I heard somebody once say, this is not just Holy Scripture, this is a history book. Amen? It talks about the history of a world that may have once been lost. The history of the kings, the history of Egypt, the history of Israel, the history is in here. They're now finding evidence that these scriptures physically are true. It's history. It's the truth. Jesus really did exist. And there's simple fact. Not that we needed to know that, but now we have proof. Physical proof. Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings like yourselves. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. Telling us, hey, why are you sinning? Why are you worshiping these things? Why are you doing this? When we come to you telling you the good news that Jesus Christ came to save you, he came to show you the way. The book of Hebrews even talks about it. Hebrews. Pastor Calvin, every time I talk about the Hebrews, I always want to say Hebrews coffee and Shebrews tea. Every time. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priest stands before the altar day after day, offering sacrifices that could never take away sins, but our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Thank you, Jesus. Good for all time. The way, the truth, the life, all time. The part of the last part of that says, then he sat down at the place of the highest honor at the right hand of God. So the Bible, the scriptures tell us, all those scriptures tell us that it's an all or nothing thing. There's no, the Christian teachings, the Bible teaches us there is exclusive salvation based upon what Jesus did and what the scriptures teach. This is a strong link to what people call grace. Grace is given to us. You see, like that story with the man in the hole. The man in the hole didn't necessarily earn his way out, as the four religions were trying to tell him, do this, do that, and maybe you'll get out. Do this, do that, and maybe you'll get out. Pray five times a day, facing this way, and clothe yourself in this and whatnot, maybe you'll get out. No. This man came and said, hey, do you want out? He said, yeah, okay, here you go. Rock and roll. Get out. I brought you out. Now you're safe. See, Jesus did that for us. He did it for us. We didn't do anything for him. He came down into this pit, this earth, to bring us up and out of it. Amen? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about what we do. When it comes down to it, grace was given to us, not for what we did. God, Jesus, he just loves us. We are his creation. You are his creation. He loves you. And because of that, he wants to take you out of the pit, out of your sins, out of your death, out of your destruction, show you the way to heaven. Amen? Christians, Jews, Muslims, whatever, believe in a personal God, yes? Do we believe that God is personal? Amen? And that he revealed himself to us, to humankind, yeah? Buddhists and Hindus, I've read, believe that God is impersonal and unknowable. He's just existing, but we can never get there. But these aspects about God are impossible because they are two spectrums of the same thing. So either God is personal or God is impersonal. God can't be personable and impersonable. I can't be personable to my wife and impersonable at the same time. That can't work. It's either I'm going to be with you or I'm not going to be. Does that make sense? Every religion besides Christianity is based off of man's efforts to reach God. Every other one. The world's religions teach that man must somehow do some kind of righteous deed or perform some kind of religious service in order to become good enough for salvation, right? In order to be saved in those other religions, a person must pray a certain number of times a day or in a certain manner, facing a certain direction. He must wear maybe a particular type of clothing in order to become righteous. Or maybe he has to visit a place or a religious shrine or visit a place in order to become saved. I got to go here. I got to go here because if right here, this is where I'm going to get saved. I know it. And I have to go here because everybody tells me I'm supposed to go here. And this is where I'm going to get saved. I have to. Or I have to go to this temple in order to be saved. Or I have to worship in such a way. It has to be like this. It has to be like this. It can't be any other way. Then I'll be saved. This is what other religions talk about. And I didn't understand until I researched other religions and looked at what other people are doing. And it's not free. There's no liberty in something that I have to do in order to become saved. Some religions require sacrifice and even infliction of pain in order to become holy in the sight of God. Some extreme religions require them to beat themselves. Did you know that? They have to beat themselves with whips and rods and other things in order to be devoted to God. I got to whip myself 9 times a day in order, and then God will say, you're faithful. Some require people to crawl a certain amount of distance in prayer in order to become righteous. On their hands and knees, crawling 1 mile or 2 miles, and then once they're finished with that, I've received salvation because I can crawl. Some religions require other forms of worship. But in all of these, the striving after righteousness is based on something that man or women do. In every other religion besides Christianity, the spirituality of a person hangs over the individual. That means that here are my sins that I've committed. Here is what I'm doing. And let's see if it can balance out. Maybe I can do more good things and that will be better because I just sinned over here. I better do another good thing because now I gotta weigh the scale over on good things. Not to say that good things are bad. Good things are not bad. But salvation is not, good things are not a requirement for salvation. A person who is doing things in order for salvation never really knows whether or not they have been good enough or righteous enough. Or have I think I've done all that I need to do in order to become righteous. They never really know. Have I worked hard enough today? Did I, oh, you know what? Oh, I didn't help that lady. Dang it. It's like a point system, right? Do I have enough points over here in order to be saved, God? I think I got 30 points. I'm good. I got 30 points, 25 sins. This outweighs the sins. We're good. No, it doesn't work that way. Let's turn to Romans. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm just going through some of the word, what it tells us about Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. But I thought I was righteous because I pray every day. Well, that's good. But the word tells us that no one is good, not even one. Romans 3. Verse 23 says, hey, for all have sinned. For all have sinned. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Mine said, we fall short of God's glorious standard. God has a standard, yes, that he wants us to be, and we all fall short of that standard. No matter what we do, we fall short. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that salvation is available. It says this, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we can be made right with God through Christ. So it's not through the things that we do. Salvation has already been available. The opportunity to become saved or become righteous is already available. He done did it already. He already paid the price For God made Christ in human form, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins. So Christ is not dying tomorrow. He already died. He already shed his blood so that you and me can have the path to righteousness, the way, truth, the life. He paid the price. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. God saved you by his special favor. Ooh, God saved you by his special favor. He loves you. He saved you. You know what? You can't do enough to earn salvation. But God says, look, man, I love you. God saved you by a special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you do, so that none of us can boast about it. Salvation is not a reward. We don't do something and then get a piece of candy. The cool thing about salvation, the really cool thing about salvation through all these scriptures, is that I already have it. I already have it. It's already surrounding me. You already have it. It's already surrounding you. And you can't boast about it. You can't do enough good things about it. Jesus died on the cross for you so that you can have this salvation. You already got it. John 3:16. We all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that... But God says, look, I gave you my son. He died on the cross so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Woo! Praise God, yeah? Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Look, God already said, I sent my son. He died on the cross. You're saved. Believe it. It's done. Amen? That's the way. That's the way to eternal life. God sent his only son to die for you, so that you can have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's turn to Matthew. I just love that. I know it's probably one of the biggest scriptures ever reproduced. And I think there's a reason for that. Well, I just don't know. Is God really real? I'm not sure if... God, nobody loves me. God sent his son to show you that he loves you. To show you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, see, the Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God in a unique way, right? He's God in the flesh, right? God in the flesh. That's what the Bible tells us that Jesus is. God in the flesh. That's pretty unique. So God came down. The Father and I are one. I'm one. Father and we are the same. We already talked about this. So that means God came down basically as a man, right? We can all put that together and say, look, God loves you so much that he came down here. Yeah? God loves you so much that he stepped out of heaven and said, look, son, I love you. And you know what? I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die in the physical so that you can live in the spiritual, so that you can be where I'm at. Not because of what you did, it's because of what I did. I created you, I loved you, and I want to be with you. Salvation comes only through God himself entering the world as a human to suffer the consequences of our sin as a gift. As a gift. You get that? It's a gift. I think sometimes we take it for granted as believers. We don't really understand the magnification of that, the how truly big and magnificent that gift is. Matthew 26, verse 39. Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, prayed. My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me, but yet I want your will to be done. So Jesus, the Son of God, said, look, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, if these people can get to heaven by the good things they do, let it be. If these people can get to heaven by wearing the proper clothes, let it be. If these people can get to heaven by saying the perfect prayer, let it be. But God said, it's got to be this way. See, Jesus even went as far as to say, if there's any other way, as those other religions talk about, if there's any other way, take this cup of suffering from me and let that be done. But God said, uh-uh. You're the way. You are the way, my son. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. When somebody tells us something different, it's not true. It's just not true. Salvation is by grace. The Gospels tell us that no one can earn it, and it's available to everybody. That in itself is different than some other religions. When it's available to everybody. Some other religions are exclusive to culture, to ethnicity, to where you're at. Male, female. This is the religion for everybody. It's for everybody. It's available. It's exclusive in that Jesus is the only way. But it's inclusive because it's for everybody. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I know that the scriptures in the history book that we just went through proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the story that was explained about the five different religions and what they do to a person who is down in a pit explains, I believe, that Christianity, or belief in Christ Jesus and what he did for us, explains that it is the only true way to live and reach eternal life. That God himself would come down, reach down in the pit, and bring up the man who could not save himself. Every other religion says, hey man, you do it yourself. Here's how you do it. Do it yourself. But Jesus, being a follower of Christ, says, look man, I'll help you. I'll help you. Yeah, it might be tough. You might have to work a little bit. You might have to change. But I'll help you because it's the only way. It's the only way. God made it possible for you to know that. For you to know him. He made it possible for you to know the way. He made it possible for you to know the truth. He made it possible for you to live in the light. He made it possible for the way. He made the way possible. Beyond what you've done in your life, he made the way for you to go. If you're not choosing to follow it, that's really... But if you are, then you have assurance that you're going to have eternal life. If you're not, Jesus says, if you deny me here on earth, hey, you know it's given to you, but you're not taking it. The way I take that is this. I told you. I've given everything to you. Now it's up to you. I've given it all for you. I've given it all for you. I've given you all the tools, all the keys, everything that you need to understand eternal life and to be in eternal life and to be with me forever. If you don't want it, some of us have been there before, giving something to a person that we've given it all to that person. We've given everything to that person. And they sit there and they mock you. Right? They sit there and they're like, you know what? I don't need you. Somebody in our lives have, you've done that for somebody. Some of us have done that to other people. God has given us every tool that we need to understand eternal life. Every tool. Everything that we need. Jesus is the way. When we look at other religions, other ways that give us eternal life or that we think give us eternal life. Christianity, All you got to do is believe. Believe in the truth. Love on people the way Christ loved people. Right? So simple. God made it so simple. We make it difficult. God made it so easy, but we make it so hard. We make it complicated when we want to go our way, when we want to do it our way. We want to live in our truth, even though God already laid out the way. He already laid out the truth. He already laid out the life. Let's stand. And I want you to close your eyes. And I don't feel like I need to call you up here. You just stay where you're at. But close your eyes. It becomes more personal, and you get less distracted when your eyes are closed. I want you to see the picture of Jesus on the cross, and bleeding, knowing that he bled for you. Knowing that it should be us on that cross with nails in our hands and feet, with a slash down our side, with bruises and cuts on our back because we sin. But no, Jesus said, look, this is the only way. I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to bleed for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. So right now where you're at, I just want to pray that if you're not living the way, if you're not truly following Jesus, you're not truly allowing God to change your life, this is real. You can decide right now to change your life. You can decide right now to change your life. That means to change your thoughts, to change your actions, to change the way that you think about things, to change the way that you act about things. This is your opportunity to receive the gift that Christ has given to you. Receive it now. Call it upon yourself. Declare it over yourself. Declare in Jesus' name your gift, the gift of salvation. Father, I pray that each and every person in here who declared that over themselves, walk and live that path. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, for those who are out there who are trying to walk the path, they're stumbling left and right. Father, I pray that you keep them on the path. Keep them on it. And Father, for those who are striving desperately to stay on the way, Father, we pray for strength, strength. Strength in the bodies. Strength in their mind. Strength in their soul. To live according to your will. To truly understand, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that we will not get to the Father except it's through you. Father, all these things I pray over these people. Yes, Lord. Jesus, you are the way. Jesus, you are the truth. And Jesus, you are the light. I want everybody here to say that. Jesus, you're the way. Jesus, you're the truth. And Jesus, you are the life. Yes. Yes. Live it. Be it. Show it. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We all enjoy your week. 6 o'clock tonight at Ferris Elementary School Prayer. Be there. Thank you. We love you. God bless. Amen.